Good evening. It's time for us to get our Wednesday night study started. We'll continue our study on prayer. Thank Donnie, I think it filled in last week, so I appreciate that. Before we have our study about prayer, why don't we go to God in prayer, and then we'll start our study. Now, Mark, could you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening to be gathered together as a group. We can open your word and spend our time dwelling on it. We're thankful for all the blessings that we receive from it. We have such a powerful tool in prayer, such a wonderful God that you are, that you've granted us this ability to come to you. We're thankful for it, Heavenly Father. We pray that we always respect it, we always utilize it, and that we become the praying children that you would desire us to be. Thankful for this study and for Ray's preparation and work that he's put stuff together for us. And we pray, your Heavenly Father, we open our hearts and our minds and we look into your word and we grow as Christians in our prayer life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So last time we talked about the fact that prayer, about the efficacy of prayer. Tonight we're going to go into what the conditions are for acceptable prayer. So how do we go about it? And if you look in Luke 11:1, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples." So I mean, the disciples recognize that there's something that goes into this, that it's not just, I mean, it's not just, you know, I'm going to say a prayer and there's not anything that's attached to it. I mean, if you look in John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." So there's we're gonna see that there's plenty of instructions in the scriptures as to what constitutes the kind of prayer that we should be praying, and that there is an attitude that we have to bring with it as well, in spirit and in truth. So I mean, there's a couple things that go into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is the outcome then? He says, "I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen that you're giving of thanks, since he does not know what you're saying?" In other words, there's thought involved in it. Not only our attitude, but you'll see as we go through this that prayer is work. We strive in our prayers to God. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it. I mean, if we start thinking that we're going to the creator of this world, the creator of us, the savior of the world, you don't just approach a person like that willy-nilly. In other words, I mean, we need to remember who we're approaching in prayer. And we need to be thinking about what it is that we're going to take to God in prayer. So we'll think about these things as we look at these conditions this evening. One of the first conditions is the idea that we have to be sincere in our prayers. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Someone read verse 5, please.
"And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward."
So they wanted everybody to know how religious they were, wanted somebody to pat them on the back, or, "Boy, that sure was a pretty prayer that you prayed." You know, those type of things. In other words, they wanted to be noticed by men instead of being noticed by God. And so that's one thing. So, I mean, where is the sincerity in that? The only sincere thing you can say about it is that they wanted to be recognized by other people. Someone read the next verse.
But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly.
Okay. So, one of the things that Jesus tells his disciples here is, remember, when you go to God in prayer, who is your audience?
God.
It's God. So, I mean, the point here he's making is that it's not a show. It's not the fact that we have to pray in private. We can pray publicly together, but again, our focus needs to be on God and not me saying something for your all's benefit so much. And so that's the point that he's making here, is that we need to be sincere and that we need to be focused on our Creator when we go to God in prayer. Prayer is also another condition, is it's not merely a means of easing consciousness, our conscience, when we're not conformed to the will of God. You know, a lot of people do things and then I'll pray to God and now I'm off the hook type thing. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He says here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to God to ask for forgiveness of sins. But what I would say to that is this, is that when we go to God to ask for forgiveness of sins, we ought to be truly repentant when we go to God for that reason. And our conscience can be clean. But if we're not repenting, just because we go to God doesn't, or we think that we're going to God, doesn't mean anything here. He's like, he says, why do you call me Lord? Why come to me in prayer if you're not going to do what I say anyway? So look at Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Because they draw near with their words, they go to God in prayer, but their intentions and their actions outside of their prayers don't match up with the prayers. We see it when we come to worship on Sunday. If we live like the devil all week long and the only day that we praise God is on Sunday, I mean, what do we call people that do that? Hypocrites. And rightfully so. And in the same way, God sees our hypocrisy if we have no intention of trying to do His will and we go to Him continuously in prayer after the fact, after I do what I want to do anyway. So let's think about that. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. And again, this is he's quoting Isaiah here as well. The hypocrites rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines and precepts of men. So let's keep that in mind. Psalms 42 and 1. And then we'll move to the next point. This is on the other side of this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. That's the. In other words, we have to go to God as in sincerity, and not with no deceit in our heart. I mean, Psalm 17:1 also touches on this. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. In other words, I'm not being a hypocrite here. I'm when I come to you, I'm being true. And we have to, and we, that means being true to God in our daily lives.
Hey, I have to ask this, but where is it in the Bible? The Bible says if you say you don't sin, you make God out a liar. Everybody sins.
True. True.
But I mean, I don't think you should, you know, go on.
No, I think the idea is this. The idea that I think he's trying to get across is this, is that you go to God in prayer, but you don't have any intention of doing his will. I mean, that's when you continually do the same things over and over again, but you, well, I'll pray to God for forgiveness again. You're sorry because you know that you're doing wrong, but you don't have any, there's no real desire to change that behavior. That's what I think he's trying to get at right here. Not that we don't all sin and make mistakes, but when we do that, hopefully we truly want to try to make it right. That's, and God knows whether we want to do that or not. Go ahead.
That just reminded me, I had this guy tell me one time, not that long ago, that he could sin of a day, but when he went to bed at night, he prayed to get forgiveness for it. You don't get forgiveness for anything unless you repent.
I mean, that's.
And he said to me just a week or so ago, he sat right here beside me. He said, "You know I'm a Christian, don't you?" I said, "I know you ain't." That was my words back to him, because he's not. He is living a fornication life. And I told him, I said, "You're not a Christian," but he sat right here and he took the Lord's Supper. And I felt like an idiot. He's a young guy. He doesn't know better, but he's been taught this false doctrine, once saved, always saved. And he said he was baptized when he was 7 years old. So I guess I've got a job on my hands.
Well, it's, you know, I think what you do is, I think all we can, any of us can do is just is point to what God's Word says itself. And then, each person has to. I mean, that, we all have to look in the mirror, which this is the mirror that we need to look in.
Exactly.
And do we match up or do we not match up? And if where we don't, that's where we need to change what we're doing. So.
Amen.
So. Another condition of acceptable prayer is the idea of humility. Turn to Luke 18. So I'm going to read verses 10 through 14.
Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his head up as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted."
I mean, it's this idea, when we come to God in prayer, I mean, the first one wanted to justify himself to God. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm great, and I'm not like all these other bad people over here. And so he wanted to justify himself, and the other guy was so ashamed because of his sin, couldn't even look up. But he said, this man left justified, because God is the only one who can justify us. I mean, we talked about this when we did our study on Romans. I mean, those who obey the gospel are the only people that can be justified. The ones who are saying, well, I'm already this and that, are never going to be right in the eyes of God. Let's look at James chapter 4. Let me read verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does he mean by that? Look at verse 7. Submit therefore to God. So I mean, if you're ever going to be justified, that means we have to submit to God. That's because He's the only one who justifies. And if we're justifying ourselves all the time, we're not submitting to anybody. I don't need to. I'm already a good guy. So that's what he's trying to get across. And that's, as we think about our prayers when we go to God, we need to be very careful about that. I'm not like those other denominations over there. I'm in the church. Well, true, we're in the church. But it's not a reason for self-pride that we're in the church. Okay? We're in the church because of the grace of God, and we were fortunate enough for somebody to teach us the truth. And you've got a lot of people out there who've not been taught the truth, been raised their whole life. Do you think they're intentionally trying to be lost? I don't think so. I don't think the majority of them are. So, no reason for pride on our part ever. We start thinking, we need to be very careful how we approach God and how we approach other people as well, that we don't come off as proud of ourselves because we're somehow different than somebody else. We're really not. Only thing that makes us different is if we know what the truth says, if there's a difference. That's the difference. Think about that, I think.
You know something, Ray?
Yeah.
We sometimes need to give some people in denominations more grace, because I was raised in the church, and you can watch some debates and stuff on YouTube and so forth, and if you don't really know the Bible, you can really be misled easily.
Absolutely.
Very easily.
I mean, think about how hard it has to be. I mean, you've been raised to think of something as true your whole life. Your whole family thinks that. Your ancestors died believing that. And it's not such an easy thing just to say, okay, well, that's all wrong. I mean, it's not an easy thing. And so we need to have some patience about us and some care when we talk to these people, because of how difficult it is. And I mean, I see that clearly. How hard it has to be. Look at verse 10 of James chapter 4. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So it's not only repent, but part of what helps us to repent is the fact is humility on our part. One of the definitions or one of the things that sticks out with a prideful person is the fact they can't admit they're wrong. I mean, I can't be wrong. And so that's what he's saying here. If you can't admit you're wrong, how can you repent? So let's think about these things. We always need to be willing to look at ourselves, like we talked about just a second ago, look at ourselves in the mirror, and where we're wrong, acknowledge it and try and work to fix it. Another condition for acceptable prayer is we need to be fervent in our prayers. Not half-hearted, not listless, not lethargic, not going through the motions. And that's one of the things I think, if we have a habit of praying at a certain time of day, and one of the things I think about myself, that where I think, gosh, you need to be careful, praying over a meal, saying the same thing over and over every time, and it's just about mindless and how you go about it. We got to be careful about that. So we need to be focused on what we're doing. Look at James 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. So be earnest in our prayers. Remember again, like we mentioned earlier, who it is that we are addressing in our prayers. If we were going to go speak to the president tomorrow, would we be slouchy? Would we be just walking around with our, bumble button around type stuff? We would go in dressed up and acting like somebody. If we were going to talk to somebody we deemed to be important. And here we are praying to God, the God of heaven, and if we're not careful, going through the motions. That shouldn't be. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Laboring earnestly, working diligently, that'd be a synonym to that. So again, it's the idea of prayer, the idea of working, the idea of being vigilant in what we do. Another condition for acceptable prayer, persistency, being persistent in our prayers. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Someone read verses 5 through 8, please.
What chapter was that?
Luke 11, 5 through 8.
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, and a friend of mine, and his journey has come to me in it, and I have nothing to sit before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, so he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.
Okay. And in the translation I have, instead of importunity, it mentions because of his persistence, he will get up and give as much as he needs. So, I mean, he's saying here, he said that, even with a friend, he said, a person who's persistent, things happen. And then if you look in verses 9 through 13, I'll read that. So, I say to you, so Jesus says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish, will he not give him a snake? He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will give us what we need. But the idea of ask, seek, knock is the idea of persistence. That you don't stop. And I mean, he gives the example of the persistent friend prior to him saying this right here. So that's the idea of this, is that we continue to go to God, that we wait upon the Lord, that we keep the faith, and understand that God answers at the proper time. He gives, and if you look at Luke 18, and we won't go through all that, but it's a similar It's a similar parable of the woman and the judge, where she keeps going to him and going to him, and the judge finally says, well, I'm going to go ahead and take care of this because she's driving me crazy. And he says here, he says, but look in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And the question we need to ask ourselves, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in me? I mean, am I persistent in my prayers? Do I give up easy? Do I tire easy? That's what we need to be careful about. When we don't get the answer we want in the time we want it, do we quit? He's telling us here, don't quit. God knows how to treat his children. And we need to understand that and believe that. Another condition for acceptable prayer is that of watchfulness. Turn to Mark chapter 14. In verse 38. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So part of what is involved in our prayer life is being alert and knowing what's going on around us. So we should be looking at our circumstances and applying our prayer life to that. So here he's telling them, he says, he asked them to do something, they went to sleep. And he says, you need to keep watching and praying that you do not come into temptation. So look in chapter 13, verse 33 of this same book. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. So, in other words, we've got to be alert to what's happening around us and watchful and prayerful at the same time. Luke 21, verse 36. And there's several scriptures that deal with this. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So, we need to be focused on what's going on around us. We can't be asleep and pray for help in these times. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word. If we pay attention, we'll know what to go to God with in prayer. I mean, if we're thinking about spiritual needs, both ones that we have, ones that our brethren have, ones that the world has. We just got through talking about denominations, how there's a lot of people never been taught the truth. That's something to pray for. So, I mean, I've heard people say, I don't know what to pray for. I'm thinking, well, gosh, there's so many things you could, just about everything. So, if we don't know what to pray for, we're just about not paying attention. And if we don't know what to pray for, it's because we're not in the Word enough. Because, I mean, he'll identify plenty of things that we can pray for and what we should be praying for. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. We got a radio program. We got a TV program. We support WAN. We should be praying that the efforts of this congregation to get the gospel out might be fruitful. I mean, that's something that's, I mean, very good to pray for. Need to be praying for Donnie as he does a lot of this work right now. I mean, we're supporting that work. I mean, the focus is there, but it doesn't just end with us putting money in the plate. That's a part of it. But we should be focused in our prayers that the gospel rings out as a result of the efforts that all of us together are involved in right now. So that's something to pray for too. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Probably getting close to stopping to find a place here. Someone read verses 8 and 9.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
I mean, we all be able to see there, just from these two sentences, there's some things that we could pray for too. I mean, one, that we be alert, but be alert to the adversary of the devil. In other words, pray that we be able to be strong enough spiritually to withstand the problems that he's going to present us with. Pray for our brethren who are suffering the same problems or worse problems than we have right now. You know, these are all things that we need to be looking for. We need to be looking for things or opportunities to pray for certain things. I mean, it should be easy for us. And we all have friends that have been in the hospital and sick. We all have people that are down at home. We all see, and like we said, we see that there's so many people out there that need the gospel. So, I mean, we have a lot of things that we can pray for, and God is telling us here that's what you need to be praying for. I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick up next time. We've got a few more things to talk about as far as conditions, and then we'll get into further part of that. Any questions or comments about anything?
We're told God knows our lives. It doesn't matter how often we pray, how long our prayers, and how much talking we do. If our heart is not in it, it doesn't get off the floor.
If our heart's not in it, we're basically talking to ourselves. I mean, when we pray, if we're not focused on what we're trying, if we're just going through the motions, it's like someone being baptized that doesn't really believe. What are they doing? They're just getting wet. I mean, we can come here every Sunday, and if my mind is not here and I'm not focused on worshiping God, what am I doing? I'm wasting 2 hours.
Kind of goes along right with that. He's talking about the attitude in our prayers. Reminded of Isaiah in Isaiah 6 and verse 5, you know, in his visionary. He saw the Lord. He's like, woe am I. I am a man. I am undone. He saw his decrepit state in the scales of God's righteousness. My lips are unclean, you know.
Yeah.
I live among people unclean.
Man, if we really understand, like you just said, if we really understand the holiness of God and we're in the presence of that, we're going to be humble. Because none of us measure up. So let's keep these things in mind. If there's any questions, feel free to come talk with me about any of those things. I appreciate it. Thank you.